You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
The government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a rare disease,
running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman, we always resisted and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. I hope that you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to be done, it must be done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate and love you, constantly getting it done. And you do it safely. You wear your mask, you keep your distance, you keep your hands clean, and you do it safely, because we need to be here. If we're going to fight this madness, we need to be here. We need to feed this shit. Yeah, I said it. I said it. We need to be here, because it is madness. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. When at the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down will show you African Perspectives, and you click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled, and it is up to date. Because we didn't have a program past Friday. We were had some technical difficulties, and we had a good program for you. I had Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, writer and, of course, educator in the Newark, New Jersey area. And we were going to chop it up. Good time. But unfortunately, technical difficulties. But he'll be back real soon, and I'll let you know about that. I will have some guests Wednesday, Sister Mama Nabantu of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, because having a program this weekend coming up. And on Friday, Brother Akil Parker, hasn't been on in a while, young educator out of Philadelphia. So this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Here are other programs on the Time for an Awakening Media lineup in all times, our Eastern times. And tonight at 6, from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Followed by Conversations, Reparations from 9 to 10 with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Incobra. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. From 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black.
WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, they're producing these products. There's a serious need for us to have a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. We don't own a damn super. I know. It's crazy. But that's what We Buy Black is trying to do. And then once establishing here, establish one in your location. We must pool our resources and do for ourselves. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahimba. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans. Yes, trips upcoming April 2nd through the 12th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. November 18th through the 29th, Tanzania. These trips are $3,700 a piece. And then a trip again, Ghana is set up December 24th to January 5th during the holiday time, the winter time in Ghana. December 24th to January 5th, 2022 in Ghana. Check it out. Everything you need is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, to have a trip of a lifetime. All the information, everything you need, the programs and so forth, the upcoming conference call on Sunday, February 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern time, to talk about all the tours and registering and all that kind of good stuff. So everything you need is right there. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Renoko Rashidi had his program with Sister Bayina Bella this past Friday. Excellent program. Good information. She's just a beautiful sister, Sister Bayina Bello of Haiti. And thank you, Baba Renoko. And, of course, Renoko will have other programs upcoming in terms of webinars. That information will be given out. And as they come out, I'll make sure that you get it for sure. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated.org. That's right. These brothers and sisters are doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org, the Kashi project that they have in Africa, their mission, the Habesha Works, the Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, the Urban Green Jobs, all of these things. Brothers and sisters, with Habesha. Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. We need to be educated, and we need to be educated by us. Habeshaincorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group is offering, if you are a member, remember to go online to theledgegroup.com, theledgegroup.com, to find out more about how you can become a member of Ledge, of the Ledge Group. They deal with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on the continent, and in 6 countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. And I'm quite sure they want more members, so they can employ more and do more projects in more countries. But they're offering, for those who are members, land in Tanzania. They're offering, if you're a member, $250 an acre in Tanzania. You need to check that out. Go to theledgegroup.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, with, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open during this month on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. The Shrine is open from 1 to 7 on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. I get that right. If you want to give them a call, give them a call at 404-444-6696. That's the Shrine of the Black Madonna. 404-444-6696. You know, they have all the stuff that we talk about, the shoes, the books, the clothing, the furniture, the shrine. I mentioned Wadada's. Okay, I'm going to mention Medu Bookstore. I haven't been by to see Mama Nia yet at the new location in the Greenbrier Mall, but I'm very happy for her, and I'll get by to see her. But give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is Brother Gazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That's east of Atlanta, the suburb, not far. And give Brother Gazimde a call. If he doesn't have the book you are looking for, he'll get it for you. And that number is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. That's right. And another program we are promoting and needs to be promoted, and that is, excuse me, family, that is Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop shop, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It is inside of the International Discount Mall in Jonesboro. And if you want more information, call Shelly at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. That is Sun Goddess Sense in the International Discount Mall in Forest Park, Georgia, 4140 Jonesboro Road. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. It's every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 to 10 p.m. If you want to call to listen, you can do so. If you want to call and give comments, questions, or concerns, here's the number, 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of Haiti. And I've asked Mama Baini, did she know the sister? And she knew of the sister and knew of her work. And she approves of what they're trying to do with our brothers and sisters, what they're doing, rather, with our young, particularly young people, the education, the health care, the sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship, you know. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akabin House, Akabin Institute, Mama Ya and Baba Barudi, educating our young warriors. If you want to help them, send your check or money order to make it out to Akabin Institute, send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, in this day and age, you can easily do it by sending Cash App and PayPal. If it's Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, the letter M, then the word Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, on Cash App, and make a donation monthly if you could. Maybe $10 a month. Comes out to $120 a year. I mean, you know, when you say it like that, like, whoa, no, $10 a month. That'd be like, okay, I can do that. Then please do. Everything is needed, brothers and sisters. We are in a war. We are in a war. We have been warred upon. And I know some of you understand and know that. Yeah. My guest, as I said, will be Wednesday is Mama I'm in the Bantu. What the heck is going on here? I tell you. I hit a page because I'm about to. I was trying to check out something, hit something, and man. Boy, oh boy, family. Okay. Let me read the Enye Sesa. I was going to go to the information for Mama Nabantu and the Pan-African Federalist Movement, you know, because it's important because that's what this program is about, independence, self-determination, liberation and sovereignty for African people. And the only place that we really can do that, it ain't here. That's for damn sure. It's on the continent. And so I'll have to come up with that in a minute here. Believe me. I tell you what I'm going to do. Let me read the Enye Sesem. I'm going to play something for you. You're going to love it. Okay. I missed last week, you know, of course. I'm going to go into the 14th and the 15th, and I'll get back to those because they're all good. Believe me, they're all good. And if you can pick up on the month and a half that I've been reading it, this is seriously directed to warriorship. To warriors, to staying focused for this battle. The previous Enye Sesem dealt with an array of the other issues, but this is strictly for warriorship, and so that's why it's a lot of that's geared towards that. February 14th. Each day brings an opportunity for development. Each day brings an opportunity to start again and to continue with the work that you started the day before and the days before that. Do not underestimate the strength of each new beginning of each day. The strength of that new beginning is the springboard of your future. So take each day with great significance, each day with great confidence, great appreciation, because the day after is not promised. Ashe. The depth to which menticide rules our fear is revealed in how easily and arrogantly historical sworn enemies can steal, daily murder us in our face in every way imaginable with impunity, and our only response remains conversation. As time escapes, we must be real if any substantial change is to occur in our conditions and possibilities. If we are sane and lucid, we have to move beyond the point of knowing that no excuses, no explanations, no rationalizations can do. We have to move beyond the point of coming to grips with the fact that what we refuse to do is based on a menticidal fear of standing as a responsible warrior. Only a terrified, menticidal fear can account for such a degenerative inaction, especially when the daily atrocities committed against us occur wantonly and repeatedly, and we still reactively see our best coping mechanism as seeking any arguable escape possible from the responsibilities of a glaring truth that has been in your face before we were born. Warriors have no fear. Daily, they affirm victory and act on that affirmation. Daily, they act to seek more effective means to bring a peaceful and more secure order to our people's lives and corrective justice to the creators of chaos. Daily, they progress away from insanity, and they stand. Affirm. I welcome the opportunity offered with each new day. I swear, Ashe. Affirm, I welcome the opportunity offered with each new day. February 15th. In every vital activity, it is the path that matters. I repeat, in every vital activity, it is the path that matters. Kemetic proverb. If entertainment is required in order for our warriors to actually feel a genuine, compelling need to do some real, serious, productive, selfless frontline work, then the difficulty we continue to encounter is successfully confronting, encountering our internal enemies is fear, is far deeper than most could even imagine. Having to be entertained into doing our work is like having to be on camera to be altruistic. True service comes from the heart without self-serving, gratuitous enticement. I say, affirm, my focus is not on the goal. I concern myself more with learning from the path taken to the goal. Affirm, my focus is not on the goal. I concern myself with more. I concern myself more with learning from the path taken to reach the goal. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Another thing I'm going to play for you today. Let me start with this.
Thank you.
right. You know what that is. That's right. That's right, family. That's the second line. That's the second line. New Orleans, Mardi Gras. Yeah. And it ends tomorrow with Fat Tuesday. That's interesting. That's interesting. But I tell you, I love that music. I love them horns, and trombones, and tubas, and trumpets. Love them horns. Mardi Gras. Yeah. Debauchery. Yeah. We have, before I get into our subject for today, we have, once again, information about, and Mama Nabantu will go over this with us on Wednesday when she is on the program. The Pan-African Federalist Movement presents a virtual town hall meeting Saturday. This Saturday coming up from 6:45 to 8:30. This Saturday coming up, and has some quotes in here, but more importantly, it has the information we need to register, and of course, to get the link to participate in the town hall meeting coming up this Saturday. Yeah, you know, because one thing that we all know, and I know you know, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that we as African people must unite. The continent of Africa must unite. I read what Kwame Nkrumah said, and he said it from Jump Street. He said it in 1957. He said it years later in that speech that I read periodically in 1961. And then he said that if we don't do this, this was going to happen. And that is what's happening. We must unite as African people, period, wherever we are on the continent and throughout the diaspora. We must unite, because as Mama Rimba said, everything that the European leads us to is genocide. Trust them not. It is genocide. We're going to talk today about the movie about the assassination of Fred Hampton, although the movie is about the traitor, Bill O'Neill, William O'Neill, Bill O'Neill, Wild Bill. The movie is from his perspective and his having to make a deal with the FBI. You know, and unfortunately for us, this government and every entity in it has always been and will continue to be an enemy to African people. You know, that's why I hate what's happening. That's why I hate what's happening. Because our people don't understand how important it is for us to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. Our people still, wherever they are, whether in Europe or any place, they want to be treated like human beings. But the people who are in control are Europeans, are Caucasians. And even some of them who don't even look like Europeans or Caucasians act like it. The same mentality. And to dog out African people at every turn. Everywhere we are, and they are, they're in positions of dominance and control, and we are in a subservient position. As Dr. Bobby Wright said, this defies all laws of probability. It is sad, unfortunately, but true. I want you to hear Fred Hampton in his own words. I must admit, Brother Kukulia did an outstanding job of portraying Fred Hampton in this movie. The dialect and so forth. In fact, when you watch the movie and you've heard Fred Hampton, well, you'll hear Fred Hampton here now. You must admit, he got him. And of course, the movie at the end of it, you know, as most biopics or, you know, movies that are based on a lot of truth or primarily on some truth, they always say what happened, you know. And unfortunately, what happened was the same old, same old. That's what happened. Yeah. So, this is Brother Fred Hampton in his own words.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. And a lot of people don't understand the Black Panther Party's relationship with white mother country radicals. A lot of people don't even understand that word that Elvis uses a lot. But what we're saying is that there are white people in the mother country that are for the same type of thing that we are for, stimulating revolution in the mother country. And we've said that we'll work with anybody, form coalition with anybody that has revolution on their mind. We're not a racist organization because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just, it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. Everybody in the state of Illinois is going to have to be involved or even around the revolution because we're going to have one. We're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do more than listen. We're going to even have to do more than learn. We're going to have to start practicing, and that's very hard. We got to start learning, and you learn through practice. We got to start making mistakes, and you learn through making mistakes. We got to start getting out there with the people. And a lot of times we think we're better than the people, but that's an insult, and that's criminal. Think you're better than the people. But we got to get together and learn where it's at. It's going to take a lot of hard work. Education for children is something else. You ought to dig on it. Every sister in this audience, every sister in this audience ought to get themselves together and come on down and help us with that Breakfast for Children program. Y'all ought to come down and help feed them children in the morning. We have Breakfast for Children because we teach the people through practice, through observation and participation, that people can be fed free. That's the people thing. Socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself. We know they have our pictures. We know they're looking for us. We know they want us. But we're still saying that even though we could be in a sense, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party, because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that the people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley, we say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I've been offered everything. I'd be in the streets propagandizing every day. I'd be working with everybody every day. I'd be preaching that solidarity is the thing. The end of a complete wipeout of imperialism is the thing. So if you're going to be thinking about me, that's what Bobby would be teaching. If you're going to be thinking about us, all we say is we don't, ain't no thing about going nowhere, getting killed. All we want to know is that you're doing what we'd be doing if we were here. And you've got to do that. You can't do it unless you believe that you can do it. In the spirit of liberation, we understand that they want everybody in the party in jail. And we know that if we try to figure out and separate and divide who should go and who shouldn't go, we spend more time doing that than working for the people. So the quick solution, the speedy one, nobody go. Nobody go.
Nobody go.
We all stay right here.
We all stay here.
With the people.
With the people.
Because we love the people.
Love
the people. Okay, you put your hands down now. We say all power to all people.
All people.
We say white power to white people.
White power to white people.
Brown power to brown people.
Brown power to brown people.
Yellow power to yellow people.
Yellow power to people.
Black power to black people.
Black power.
X power for those that we left out.
X power for those we left out.
We say Panther power to the Vanguard Party.
When you
leave here, saying the last word. Now, before you go to bed tonight, say I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting ground. Say that. Say, I am a revolutionary. Say it when you're going out. Okay, we're gonna say it while we're going out.
Hey, we're gonna start a thing called Free Fred. Don't that sound nice? Hey, let's do that. Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Hey, I ain't even in jail yet.
Fred Hampton. The voice of Fred Hampton. His words. You know, watching Judas and the Rise of the Black Messiah, which of course a lot of, and I'm read that to you too, there's a Time, LA Times article about the production of the movie and the sanctioning of many of the things that happened in the movie by the widow of Fred Hampton, Sister Akua Njie, and Fred Hampton Jr., who I met a few times. And so, you know, they of course got some things right, but it's a movie, and in the movie, just like in the movie for Harriet Tubman, there were things in the movie that, you know, more than likely, I mean, they have a thing that they call artistic licensing, which means that they, even though the movie is based on a real person and some possible real events, they can embellish them. They can use hyperbole. Words there, right? But what that really means, of course, is that they don't have to follow. You know, it's not a documentary. It's a movie. And with artistic licensing, they make things for the benefit of the movie in terms of, you know, surprising things that didn't happen, more than likely probably didn't happen. Like in Harriet Tubman, they had the brother who was a bounty hunter who was going across the country trying to find Harriet Tubman. And I mean, you know, if some patrols came across him, you know, and they don't know, and even the people with the patrol, they couldn't read. They would hand, you know, because you were supposed to have a pass to leave the plantation. And if you hand the pass to one of the, you know, people who are trying to find, you know, other people. Oh, okay. Somebody sent me a little message here. Okay. And they're trying to find, you know, they have the pass. Got to get your pass. And you hand it to, you know, the patrolman. And he looks at it. And if he thinks it's legit, he hands it back to you. Then you go on. But if he thinks it's not legit, and even though it may be legit, he'll steal. Especially if you out there by yourself. Thinking you forged a pass and you're trying to escape. You know? So,
artistic licensing. You know? Yeah. In the movie, what's, you know, although, as I stated earlier, the movie tells the story from the traitor's point of view. It begins with him busting into a bar with a fake police ID, badge and ID and so forth. Actually, it was FBI, supposedly. And he bows into the bar by himself, dressed as if he, you know, with a tie on. And so he has everybody put their money on the pool table and empty their pockets and so forth. And then he gets some car keys to a red car that's out front, you know, and says, "This car is stolen," you know. You know, he looked, it's a stolen car. "That's your car?" "Yeah." "Well, this car is stolen." "Oh, it's not. And then he tries to walk the brother out who owns the car. And then one brother becomes very suspicious. A knife was on the table. He pulls the knife out. And, of course, the dude runs. He gets in the car, backs up, hit a car, in front of the car, until he finally pulls off with cats hanging on it. But then right away, the police stop him. And that's how he gets involved with the FBI, saying that, you know, if you do this, the quid pro quo. If you do this, I'll do that. And of course, in America, which promotes individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, you think, what is in it for me? How can I save my ass? I don't want to go to jail. If it means I got to infiltrate the Black Panther Party and bring down this program that has benefited so many people in so many ways, I'll do it. I'll do it. And based on the information, he did it for a long time. And then even after Fred Hampton was assassinated and the Panther Party went underground, he continued to work with the so-called authorities until the documentary Eyes on the Prize. And I guess the Eyes on the Prize documentary, you know, that was a series about 20 years ago. And that was 20 years later, after the death of Fred Hampton, 20 years later. So he lived as a traitor, as a snitch, as a destroyer, working with Urugu. He lived that way. And 20 years later, he tells Eye on the Prize what he had done. And then supposedly a few days after that interview, he commits suicide. You know, whatever this system says, I don't believe. If the system says it's up, I know it's down. If the system says it's blue, no, it's red. Whatever these folks say. So they said that he commits suicide. I don't believe it. I believe they finally took him out. They finally took him out. I mean, you know, he, of course, when you do stuff like that, they put you in the witness protection system. They give you a new identity and send you off to another city. Well, he came back to Chicago, you know. I guess that's, you know, when it's your home with a new identity, with a new name, new information, IDs and so forth. But this man who was a traitor, who was somebody who was willing to give up the struggle for our people, to give that up to benefit himself. And of course, once again, that's what America's about. It ain't about the collective will of African people and to do things for our future. No, it's about right now. And if I had to tear this organization down or individual down or whatever, betray them, I'll do so. I'll do it in a minute to save my own ass. I'll do it. And that's the issue that we are confronted with. That's why it's important that we recognize why we must be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, there's an article out of the Times. And talking with Sister Njeri and Fred Hampton Jr. about their involvement in the project. I know it's getting all this buzz. Many people didn't like it because of the focus on the traitor and not on Fred Hampton and programs and so forth, you know. There was one person in the movie that I didn't catch, and then I read the article and said, oh, okay, Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush, who has been a congressperson from Illinois for many years, and I think he had cancer or something, because you can see that part of his throat cancer or something, because like I had operation on one side of his neck. And he's been in for, I tell you, man, you know, the apathy in American politics is so pervasive, it's sickening. It's sickening that Maxine Waters and all these other folks have been in office for 20, 30, 40 years. There should be term limits. They had a structure it so, you know, there are term limits for the various people within Congress as senators. And senators get 6 years. You know, president gets 4 with a possible 4 more, 8 at that limit. But senators get 6 year term, but it's can be forever, like a Strom Thurmond who was in the Senate for 40 years. There's some cats in the Senate even now, been there a long time. Grassley, the dude that's presiding over it, Leahy. He's 80 years old. There should be term limits. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to get off into this and talk more about the assassination of Fred Hampton. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. An appropriate song. It's a jam, though, isn't it? It's called The Traitor. Herbie Hancock, The Traitor. That's what we're talking about today, the Judas and the Black Messiah movie. There's an article in the LA Times, Judas and the Black Messiah delivers justice for Fred Hampton, thanks to those he left behind, which of course is his lady, Sister Akua Njiri, formerly known as, excuse me, and his son, Fred Hampton Jr. If you've seen the movie, you know the story, you know that she was pregnant, 8 months, 8.5 months pregnant at the time of the assassination. Of course, if you want to join this conversation, you dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let me just quickly give the rundown, as I usually do, of programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program Monday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And that is followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan from 7 to 9. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And if you're on, if already called, and you want to listen, that's cool. But if you want to say something, hit star twice. Hit star twice, lets me know that you want in on the conversation. In January 1990, activist Akua Njiri attended the funeral of William O'Neill, the man responsible for leaking information to the Chicago police that aided in the assassination of her fiancé, Black Panther leader Fred Hampton, in 1969. So 21 years later, I had planned to spit it in the casket and then turn it over, she said by phone from Chicago. But when I got there, it didn't look like O'Neill in the casket, and I froze. I kept saying, that's not him. One of the brothers there said, oh, yeah, that's him. But it was a different O'Neill that was in the casket. So I didn't do what I had planned for days to do. A career criminal turned FBI informant, the 17-year-old O'Neill, infiltrated the Black Panther Party and quickly climbed the ranks to become one of the heads of Hampton's security. He gave FBI the layout of Hampton's apartment, shared with Njiri, and slipped a sedative into Hampton's drink so he wouldn't wake up during the police raid and assassination. Hampton was just 21 years old when he was murdered. O'Neill, who's betrayed in the subject of the Warner Brothers, Judas and the Black Messiah, which has emerged as a key player in the current award season, is now in general release where the movie theaters are open and streaming on HBO Max. The film stars Lakeith Stanfield as O'Neill and Daniel Kula as Hampton. Now, these two brothers these two brothers played in Get Out. Many of the people you see from Get Out, even I can't remember that brother, he's a comedian. He played in Get Out. He was Akula's partner that he called in, and he rescued him at the end of Get Out. Lakeith Stanfield, he played the brother who was whose brain that was used, and who was real weird in the movie in Get Out. Where I remember they're at the scene of the cookout where the Caucasians are there looking at other young American African people, men, so they can, even though they're on their way, they're dying out, and so they want to put, you know, their brain, their Caucasian brain, into that African body and have them operate and think as such. See, that's Get Out. So a lot of the people that were in Get Out are in this movie as well. The film stars Lakeith Stanfield as O'Neill and Daniel Okuda as Hampton, the deputy chairperson of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. Dominique Fishback plays Injury, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. Sister Akua Injury, whose name is changed her name, her name was Deborah Johnson. She really allowed me to develop the character as I saw fit, says Fishback, of the activist. She didn't say, you have to do X, Y, and Z. There were only two things that she mentioned. She did not cry when they assassinated Chairman Fred. And she talked about how the Panthers were very disciplined and they didn't speak out of turn. So it was just certain things that she wouldn't have ever said to Chairman Fred. Director Shaka King makes his studio feature debut with the film, which he co-wrote with writing partner Will Burson. An earlier version of the script was written by Keith and Kenny Lucas, with producers including Charles D. King and Black Panther director Ryan Coogler. The film was originally envisioned as The Departed inside the world of the FBI's counterintelligence program, the COINTELPRO, said the director. I thought that was a brilliant idea, mainly because it was the only way that we could get a movie about Fred Hampton or the Black Panther Party through the studio pipeline, said King. The studios don't really make mid-budget films anymore, and if you're going to make a period piece, you're probably going to have to spend upwards of $20 million. These movies have been replaced by big franchises like Star Wars and the Marvel films. So the few biopics that remain are traditionally going to be about Caucasians. We haven't even had biopics on wildly famous American African figures. First, of course, the Harriet Tubman biopic came out, which is now 2 years ago. Wow. In the American African community, Fred Hampton had some level of name recognition, he added. But so many people who grew up hearing the name didn't even necessarily know how they know it. Others just know that he was killed by police. A lot of people don't know that the FBI was really the architect of the conspiracy, not to mention his politics are incredibly radical and anti-capitalist in a studio system whose lifeblood is capitalism. That's why, rather than making a straightforward Fred Hampton biopic, it was decided that the story would be told from O'Neill's perspective. Initially, it was just folded into the pitch, said King, who said the movie is more about Hampton's ideas than his life story. And so the best way to highlight his ideology is to contrast it. So in a lot of ways, I think it's a strong choice to make William O'Neill a central character, because you can indict capitalism in real time. You don't have to talk about it objectively. You can show it. The decision to give O'Neill equal weight in the story was a major point of contention for Hampton's family. Understandable. But there are pros and cons to that choice, said Chairman Fred Jr., now the head of the Black Panther Party Cubs, who are not yet born when his father was killed. There's a quote by Minister Huey P. Newton which says, contradictions are the ruling principle of the universe. And to depict the Black Panther Party, you must acknowledge the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is an organization that was targeted and infiltrated by the FBI. So whose narrative it was coming from was still remain a tender spot, a mode of contention. The film's title was inspired by a memo about Hampton written by former FBI director J. Edgar Hoover about preventing the rise of a Black Messiah from within the Black Panther Party's ranks. Our position was that it be acknowledged not to be a metaphysical comparison, but within the context of which Hoover had spoken with regards to COINTEL program, said Hampton. Chairman Fred, and the Black Panther Party were servants of the people. They made it a point that they were not above the people, and so that narrative had to be included to distinguish it, not in an elitism type of way. There were other titles that were floated, other stories that were floated. It was a battle back and forth, said Injiri. Down to the clothes that were worn, the music, who smoked cigarettes and who didn't. We were all on set, so we had a lot of struggles. Every battle wasn't won, but many of them were won. In fact, finding a version of the movie that satisfied King, the producers and the studio, and the family was the biggest challenge of the production. It was challenging just working with producers in the studio. You had a lot of different opinions, and you had to really consider that this story matters more to Injiri and Hampton than it did, than anybody in the world. Sometimes situations would arise where we had a disagreement about something we discussed because it's way different reading the script and seeing the things happen. We would have to do our best to accommodate. More often than not, we were able to do that, but sometimes we weren't. Sometimes there's no compromise. But ultimately, we were able to help us avoid the so many pitfalls and so many mistakes that would have brought more injurious. Despite having done as much research as we've done, there's no substitute for real person. We would have made a lot of mistakes and offended a lot of people, but they were able to help us avoid that. They were incredible. Well, they lived it. They were there. And that's what you should do. We had to do a lot of damage control because there was so much misinformation going around, said Hampton. And it's been recently revealed that over 73% of the information provided about the Black Panther Party was authored by the FBI. So there were many days of saying, we have actual individuals who are there and who are still here, who are open to not only talk about it, but to put it in its correct political context. One thing that came easy was casting the three leads. King says the process was intuitive. Daniel had the mix of youthful charisma and gravitas that people say Chairman Fred had. Lakeith is always surprisingly and charming and sometimes can be impish, which was fitting for O'Neill. And Dominique is an incredibly naturalistic actor. Since we're talking about living icon, Akua Injiri, I wanted somebody who felt like a real person. Dominique has the craft that allows her acting to be seamless as non-actor, and so she was perfect in that regard. Getting the family on board was another story. After running into the chairman at an Oakland flea market, Coogler invited Fred Hampton Jr. and Injiri to meet and discuss the count and consulting on the film. We've been approached a lot about different films and different movies, Injiri said. There have been a number of different attempts throughout our lives for books, movies, you name it, said Hampton. We've taken a principled stance toward maintaining the legacy under contested conditions. It's been a long battle to maintain that legacy. Before formally signing, they invited the producers, King, Coogler, Fishback, to Hampton House in Chicago to discuss the vision for the story. We have so many war wounds that we don't give it too much light initially, said Hampton. But after continuous contact, we finally sat down and had a discussion. We had really good conversation, said Njeri. The meetings went on for about 7 hours. When I would watch Daniel talk, I could see his brain turning. I could see him talking in it and taking it all in. You can't read what he was thinking, but you can tell that he was intense, listening and processing. And when he spoke about some of his past experience, I said, okay, this will work. He didn't come to the table as an authority. He came as somebody who was willing to listen to two people in the room who knew what they were talking about. Although she wasn't familiar with the Get Out Oscar-nominated work prior to their meeting, I began watching them after that. She said, he's a hell of an actor, but he's a principal person too. Yeah, Brother Coogler is a good actor. On his performance as Hampton, the jury says he lit it up. He did. He studied. He studied Fred Hampton, just like I played that piece for you. That's why when you watch the movie, he sounds and looks like Fred Hampton. He's a good actor. You know, the chemistry between him and Dominique made me realize for the first time that I don't know how many years, how much I missed the camaraderie and the political discussions with Chairman Fred and the stuff that I learned. I teared up because it took me back to a really good period. And it also reminded me of how fortunate I was to be able to participate in the struggle in that period. It brought me back so many memories, and I was really emotional. A lot of the things came back to me that you bury deep in the back of your mind. She says the other actors were magnificent as well. Lakeith Stanfield, I said, you did great, but I can't hug you. You played the traitor. They had tremendous camaraderie and a cadre of people acting in the movie. Although Hampton acknowledged the creative battles of the film, an ongoing struggle, he said it earned him endorsement. There's another saying, a revolutionary is never satisfied. In the wake of last summer's social unrest against the systematic racism and police killings of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, this moment seems ripe to bring Fred Hampton's story to the screen. People are just walking down the street and getting attacked and murdered by police, and they're getting off scot-free, Njeri said. Breonna Taylor was at home minding her own business and wasn't a freedom fighter or a revolutionary and was murdered in her home. I think that lesson that we have to take from this in the 60s is that we have a responsibility to fight back, whether that means sending donations or making copies or flyers. We see terms such as police brutality as euphemisms, but our position is police terrorism, said Hampton. The black community are the original victims of terrorism. We've been terrorized under such euphemisms as slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, gentrification. We attempt to heighten the contradictions and put it in the correct political context. One of the mantras of Alcoholics Anonymous is to address the problem, you must first recognize the problem, he added. As opposed to gentrification, it must be recognized as land grabs. As opposed to correctional centers, they are concentration camps. As opposed to political and police brutality, this is police terrorism. Coincidentally, Hampton's story is also briefly touched on in Aaron Sorkin's 2020 film, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, in which the young revolutionary was portrayed by Kelvin Harrison in a relatively small role. Until COVID-19 pandemic turned the film's release schedule upside down, Judas planned to open first in August of 2020 before Chicago Seven, which has hit the theaters in September. I think the reason that you're seeing movies about that time period made now probably has something to do with Donald Trump's rise to power and the shift in culture that he brought, said King. Just as you saw the rise of QAnon and right-wing media, I think you've seen a stronger interest on the part of studios to put forth content that satisfies left-wing viewers as well. Not necessarily out of the same moral obligation, but just because there's an appetite for it. This is a climate where people's political spores are open, said Hampton, where there are certain discussions that people can relate to. We can't detach the era of the Black Panther movement of the 60s from Watergate, the tenure of former U.S. President Richard Nixon, and the U.S. aggression against the Vietnam. We have a comparable climate now with coronavirus and internal struggles between partisan politics. So there is a climate where people are forced to relate to certain dynamics. And it is a prime time for the Black Panther Cubs, who serve in the interest of people, to fight for self-determination. Today, Hampton carries on his father's legacy through his work with the Black Panther Cubs, the literal and ideological descendants of the Black Panthers who fight for political prisoners, continue to ongoing protracted struggle for self-determination. It is a tough act to follow, said Hampton. We attempt not to walk in his footsteps, but in their Panther Paw steps. We draw correlations between the Panthers and the Cubs with our free breakfast program, one of our major information vehicles, Free M All Radio, which is hosted by myself and Robin Allen, which is on Black Talk Radio Network. If you go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, their program is on that. Free M All Radio, which is hosted by myself, Brother Fred Hampton Jr., and Robin Allen, a.k.a. Lady of Rage, and the Black Panther Party Intercommunicational Newsletter. The Black Panther Party and the Black Panther Cubs go everywhere there are people, said Njeri. They're not afraid to talk to the people or to see what's going on in the community. It's really an honor for me to be able to still participate in this fight, she added. It keeps me energized. It keeps my brain and my heart working to be able to be on the advisory board of the Black Panther Party Cubs and to be able to participate in programs that they do. The struggle is noble. We haven't achieved self-determination yet, so I have a responsibility, a duty to continue fighting. I'm very glad I'm able to do just that. The Black Panther Party. So if you haven't seen the movie, I hope I didn't spoil it for you, because I know some people say, I don't want to know. I want to see it myself. Well, it's a biopic, so you know what happens. But, you know, I have some thoughts, because I came up around that time as a teenager. I helped with the breakfast program in Milwaukee at Hepatha Lutheran Church, and also too at St. Boniface Catholic Church. And went to some Panther meetings and, you know, Republic of New Africa meetings and stuff like that. So that was part of my political awakening as a teenager in the 60s of learning about our struggle. You know, I think that, you know, our struggle from when Fred Hampton was saying all power to all people and white power to white people and brown power to brown people. And, you know, I think I understand that. And I understand the Panthers of the time and to some degree maybe you're today, because the belief is that with this struggle that we can change the hearts and minds of those who are in control, Europeans. And I believe, as Frantz Fanon has said, Europeans suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can do or say to prove them otherwise, even though there's a plethora of information out there saying it ain't so. But yet, their mindset is we ignore that. We dismiss that. You know? If you want to join this conversation, if you're on, there's a number of people on. You can hit star twice. You can dial. You can dial us in at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you saw the movie, what did you think? If you haven't seen the movie, will you? Now somebody said, yeah, I was going to see it, but you spoiled it for me. You're right.
Yeah. AOC.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. These movies are nothing more than the supreme fall of brainwashing, indoctrination, and all of a kind of sugar, honey, iced tea, man. I'm just really at the point to where I just can't watch it, man. I have a hard time dealing with the nonsense.
Okay.
I think the most egregious nonsense out of all of them was that trash American Skin.
Okay.
You got to be a real, real confused and sick Negro to not understand and see what this Yerugal-loving, I believe, Judas Nate Parker did with that American Skin.
Okay.
You know, the thing is this. Number one, we got to remember something about the people who put forward these messages. Number one, he's married to a Yoruba. So in his heart of hearts, he's never going to do anything to hurt a Yoruba because he got kids with that bastard. And that bastard that he's created has to have a somewhat identity and acceptance of their blackness. And what he's trying to put forward is the Negro's humanity towards the cracker, the Yoruba, the devil, your enemy. It becomes absolutely sickening and sick. For you to make a movie, listen to me clearly, a movie wanting to seek a white man's punishment. And at the end of it, don't send them to see the Sky Daddy. Anytime you make a statement like that, let's be clear. Let's don't have no ifs, ands, and but dispute or anything other than the fact that two things are going to happen. You're going to die or you're going to go to jail. That's it. That plain and simple. So why would you make a movie trying to put forward a message in the manner in which this Negro did with this American Skin? And at the end, not make the supreme sacrifice and show that devil being done with in the manner that he should be done with to honor your child's murder. Because you know why? The white man controls it. And he's never going to allow you to put forward that type of narrative in these times when what we are facing as they talk about Black Lives Matter and all of these other so-called references of Kumbaya film. You know, failedness and us coming together and being a community and blah, blah, blah. So they are our Negro to do what he did with this American Skin is just egregious. and as dangerous as the Judas in the movie in regards to Fred Hampton. And if anybody who thinks that this is not propaganda at the hands of the white man to control how we think and interact with one another in society, you're a fool.
Yeah, so is the...
And it's just tragic.
So is the Black Panther movie.
So, no question.
Yeah, no doubt. I wholeheartedly agree. Everything that comes out, you know, out of Hollywood, it is designed in that way, you know.
But we some of us really don't seem to get it. And that's the sickness of it all, is that you got Negroes 50 and 60 and 70 years old that don't even have the intellect to realize when they're being toyed with, played with, and abused psychologically. To think that a movie like American Skin has any value whatsoever is absolutely pathetic and sickness, that you as a black man could feel and think that way. It's tragic. Yeah. It's just tragic.
Well, I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's really tragic.
I haven't seen Americans.
Don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. Wait till it come on for free to see it. It was one of the. All I can say is.
Well, I mean, even
I would have preferred spinning that on a pork chop sandwich, and I don't even eat pork than having to witness. This type of mental masturbation and propaganda against my people.
I didn't pay to see Judas and the Black Messiah, and I don't know if I would have been happy to pay for that, but I did look at the movie objectively and find out, you know, all the angles. I mean, that's what I try to do when I, you know, look at a movie, and 'cause many of our people look at movie from an entertainment standpoint. Of course, this being a biopic, you know, to some degree, on the life of Fred Hampton.
Yeah, there you go. You use the right word. Some degree.
Yeah, because there's a small portion of Fred Hampton's life and a small portion of William O'Neill's life. And they chose to go in the direction of William O'Neill and his perspective, you know. And his relationship with the FBI.
Well, they gotta try to justify his treachery.
Yeah, you know.
You know, that's the that right there is the evil, and all of it is, how do you justify that type of treachery against the people? One moment, okay.
All right, but you know, the thing is that the sad part is there were many people, and I'm even using that right term, many, that have done some treacherous things to us as a people who are our own, that turncoat, that undermined, supplanted, did tremendous harm. That's like why Harriet Tubman had to carry a gun, not for the protection against those who were hunting her down, you know, but also for those who wouldn't run and might tell, scared, you know. This system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has always had us in a situation of fear. Fear. Many of us are so afraid that we don't even move. We just want to stay right where we are. We're comfortable. The fear of us on the plantation when our children were taken, when our wives were raped and taken and murdered and killed. The fear, the constant fear, the constant terror that we have had experienced, causing us to, you know, out of our own self-interest and our own ability to to do stuff for ourselves as opposed to anybody else, and willing to take bribes, take money, do things in a way that will undermine legitimate organizations and movements. That's why, to me, the main thing that we as African people must do in our establishments of organizations and things is to learn to deal with traitors, learn to deal with agent provocateurs to the point of we kill them. We kill them. We don't let them escape. And we know where they're coming from. So that ain't, we don't need to interrogate them. They're coming from Urugu. Their whole plan and objective is to destabilize, to cause dissension and confusion and chaos within organizations. It's been happening all the time. I mean, aside from this situation with Fred Hampton, I remember a long time ago watching this piece on the Oakland Black Panther Party. And Huey P. Newton was on the program, and there was this sister, beautiful sister, fine, nice fro and everything. She was an informant. She was in the mix to undermine the Oakland Black Panther Party. Like, this dude, William O'Neill, was in the mix to undermine the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party, in particular its leader, Fred Hampton. He's the one that slipped. You know, all of these things that were said and done, it has been interviewed. Like I said, when he was on the documentary, Eye on the Prize, and said what he had done, you know, then they said he committed suicide. I don't believe a lot of stuff that this society says. And to believe that this man, after all the 20-some years of living and still working with the FBI, still being an informant, now suddenly because he gives an interview that's Eye on the Prize and people see him, maybe that's, you know, being exposing yourself to that like that, you know. But I don't believe that he did. I believe that he was murdered. He was quieted, you know. But you could see what this government has done. And yet, we consistently believe that somehow, some way, that these Caucasians will have a change of heart, a change of mind, and recognize what they have done and are continuing to do and plan to do, that they'll change. They have an epiphany. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did all these horrible things to African people. Oh, I'm sorry. I took Africans out of Africa and dispersed them and put them on work farms. How's that word instead of a plantation? Work farms, concentration camps, and worked them to death. Took their language, took their names, took their customs, their tradition, their theology. I took every damn thing. And probably the most egregious of those who've taken everything is the United Snakes of America, at least in some parts of the world where we were taken. There were some things that we could still hold on to. Still a tradition here and there. You got in Brazil, there are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. If you go to Salvador Bahia, which of course I do want to go to, I won't go back to Rio again. You know, when I mentioned Carnival and Mardi Gras, that's something that I've involved myself. Me and my best friend, he transitioned back in 06. But prior to that, I had gone to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. I had gone to Rio with him for Carnival, and to Trinidad for Carnival. Those are some of the biggest places for Carnival, along with New Orleans. And so to fill that out, from what I know, I'm not going to Europe. You know, I'm going to go to Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to fill that out and go to Mobile, Alabama to Carnival there. So we'll see. But anyway.
Yeah, but Oshie.
Yeah. Oh, Jay, know, go ahead.
You know, the thing is, the propaganda is pure evil. it's pure evil in the sense that most people don't understand that they're being played with and toyed with and being used to further recognize their oppression so that they're able to, when they make certain moves against us, they can use those as the form of justification. It's just evil, man.
Yeah, well,
it's evil. And unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry to say it, oh, we don't get it.
No, we don't.
We really don't get it.
And I agree with you.
Because we glorify this nonsense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is evil. What the European has done to us is deeply, I mean, just pathetic. It's evil. You know,
and you know when you I take know, a and see, the thing is this, though. He has no problem doing it.
Oh, no, he has no conscience at all.
He feels as though it's his right to do it and that he must do it for what? One thing that nobody wants to talk about and understand, for his survival.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't get mad at him for it. I get mad at us because after all of these years of dealing with this no good, filthy, stinking cracker, we still ain't figuring
yeah.
out.
Well, see, I get
we
mad. I don't get mad at us.
Jay,
I don't get mad at us. I get mad at the perpetrator. I get mad at Europeans, the evilness of Europeans and their deceptions and their propaganda and their ability to manipulate. So I don't put blame on us if we were in our right minds, this wouldn't happen. The fact that our minds have been literally destroyed by Europeans now for centuries, the imposition of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has been impacted and pounded on us for centuries now. So no, I don't blame us. I don't blame us who want to be a part of the Urugu's world, who want to live with them, who are still very diehard in believing that we can all get along, we can all live together in peace and so forth. No. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on the perpetrators, on the ones that came up with this idea. And yes, you're right. Frances Cress Welsing said the same thing when she said, I'm sitting in my kitchen and I've been going over what me and Neely Fuller had been talking about. And suddenly it hit me of what this Caucasian is and why he's the way he is. Because after he went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, he had sexual relationship with women, rape. He was raping them and they were impregnating him, and they saw that the offspring did not look like them, causing them to have an innate fear of genetic annihilation. And so therefore, as a collective consciousness of Europeans, we must dominate and control. We must set the parameters. Even these commercials that you've been seeing in this country, the dichotomy is that Caucasians can't stand our guts. But yet, on all of these damn commercials, you see a black woman and a white man, and every now and then a black man and a white woman. I mean, commercial after commercial, priming you, because they have to find a way to continue themselves on the planet. And to continue their dominance and rule over the planet. Now,
that just started the last 5 years, if you notice.
Those commercials and so forth, and it's interracial.
It's been like 5 years with anytime you have a new show, you're gonna get homosexuality, integration, and that's just the propaganda. And you know, unfortunately, we don't have the psychologists that we used to have that broke that down.
We don't have the people like a Dr. Amos Wilson. You know,
right?
We do have, you know, Naeem Akbar and so forth, but you know,
but Naeem Akbar. I mean, if the truth be told about him, I mean, he's down with yeah. that madness too, bro. I mean,
let's
you can't really use him anymore. I mean, his past work is definitely valuable. But I mean, come on,
yeah,
bro.
You haven't. I agree.
I don't even want to say it.
Yeah, I agree. You haven't heard from Naeem Akbar in a long time.
He can't come into the community like he used to. I think he's still teaching at Florida State, but he can't come in the community on the lecture circuit and do all those things, being a Twisted Sister monkey man.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
But when I talked about that, I should have said Dr. Wade Nobles. There's other clinical psychologists that are out there that people, you know, may not have heard of, but may not recognize. But believe me, there are some of them out there who help us understand this dynamic.
Today, that had the name recognition, like Nobles and you know, Amos and them. You know, that's one of the things that saddened and hurt me is that there hasn't been a new crop of individuals, even though I know they're out there, they just haven't gotten the exposure that Amos and them had gotten at that time because of what we were dealing with. And now that we have a system that is promoting integration and can we get along with the cracker and all of that, that we don't have the Francis Quest Weldon and things of that nature. But they out there. I know they're out there. But, you know, we have to figure out how can we get them in front of the community.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
They need to be in front of the community.
And they need, through us, to have that voice.
You know,
they need to have that voice. I agree with you, Jay, on that. And there are some, because we need them. You know, we need them. I mean, what the Black Panther Party was espousing is something that, you know, was idealistic, you know, but everything, of course, can be termed idealistic. The things I espouse
are idealistic,
but I'm not, hold on, Jay. I'm not espousing, you know, kumbaya. I'm not espousing getting along with Christ. I'm promoting sovereignty. I'm promoting independence and liberation for African people in all of its form, that we reject any and everything from the Caucasian.
Do you know where it all comes from?
What's that?
Do you know where it all, where the Panthers and every basic movement comes from? It comes from the oppression of African people through the eyes and the lens and the actions of the white man. Do you know that's why all of these things are created, because of the actions and the behavior of the white man and how they go about the business at hand of doing what they have to do to do what? Survive. That's why the white man, 80% of who and what he is for his survival. But for some reason, we don't understand that. That's why I never understand why anybody would want to incorporate anything with a cracker.
Well, see, what
why
it is...
Why would you ever want to help a sister cracker survive on the planet when his sole purpose is to eliminate you and your people from
Jay,
the planet? You're just a dumbass.
Right, that's because we don't understand that. And once again, I don't blame us. I blame them. The bottom line is, that's why education must be designed and implemented by us. Everything about education, its curriculum, how it is taught, what is being taught, and everything has to be by us, so we get the proper perspective on what the Caucasian has done and continues to do. He is our sworn open enemy, and he has acted like that since he came. Exactly. He's a perpetual enemy, and he's acted like that from day one. He's acted like that as Greeks. He acted like that as Romans. He acted like that coming out of his so-called Renaissance.
But he has the right to act that way, Yoshi.
Let me say
because
this.
Because he's trying to survive.
Yeah, but he has a right to. Well, I mean, you know, then we have a right to repel that, don't we?
And that's what I'm an opponent of. Yeah. And that's what I believe in. We have a right to kill the cracker
just
at
like they
any
kill us, huh?
opportunity given if it is to protect our survival on the planet.
Yeah.
We don't understand it. We don't practice it. And I don't think we ever going to realize it, that we are in a game of survival and war against this cracker, and it will be that way until the day we do what? Die.
But see, we have been trained not to talk about war. We have been trained to figure out ways that we can peacefully persuade our enemy using moral persuasion, as Dr. King tried to do. We're going to meet soul force with all this discrimination with soul force, with love.
White man has no morality.
He has zero. He has no conscience.
I got it out.
Exactly. He does everything, you know. It's just like when Trump said to Woodward, you know, you're drinking that juice. And I have no problem with, but, you know, doing what we do to black folks. You know,
yep.
I have no sympathy for that. I don't give a damn if they howl, you know, live in filth and squalor and have no rights and so forth. I have no, you know. You know, when Woodward asked him about the conditions that our people are in, he don't give a damn.
Well, Oshi, it's time to end the show.
Yes, it is, man.
Yes, it is. Every week and look forward to Wednesday. When are you going to have the brother on? Are you?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
It's unfortunate what happened Friday.
It sure is. It, brother, believe me, Jay, it really is, man. But it's going to be real soon.
The white man did it.
Well, it's ironic. I've had some programs that I had a guest on. Ironically, not just me just talk, running my mouth, had a guest on that it happened. It happened with Baba Baruti. It happened with Brother Inja. Yeah, you know, these glitches.
It's a white man.
Yeah. All right, Jay. You have a blessed day,
Hotel.
My brother. Hotel.
You too.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate once again coming in front of you and disseminating information, trying to put something on the minds of our people. Trying to make us and get us to think, and more importantly, do for self. My guest Wednesday will be Sister Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu is with the Pan-African Federalist Movement. They have a program this weekend coming up, and we're going to learn all about that and how you can participate and how you can become a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Brothers and sisters, it has to be clear to us. It has to be undeniably clear to us. The only alternative for African people is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. The model of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. If we do not unite, we will die. We will die mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We will die. We got to get up out of here, family. And all those Negroes who want to stay, let them stay. Let them be. Because they've been so well trained to hate themselves and to hate Africans. And to hate Africa. I ain't no African. I'm an American. So I'm saying to us, I appreciate you coming to this program because that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. A serious dose every Monday and Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern of the necessary need for us to embrace one another, respect one another, trust one another, believe in one another, work with one another, put all the ignorance and all the superstition, all the pettiness, put your religion, put your damn religion in your back pocket. Whether you're Christian, Muslim, Black, Hebrew, whatever the hell you are, put in your back pocket. One of the main problems for us not being able to come together. And that's what we must do. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. See you on Wednesday.